Congratulations to the graduating seniors and scholarships. It's a little different this year. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yes, it is. And I want to add my congratulations to the graduating high school seniors at the Highland School. Normally, this time of year, we have a Honors Day where I have the opportunity to actually hand deliver the scholarship awards to the graduating seniors, and they're dressed up in their academic regalia. This year, because of COVID, they're not doing that. Still want to extend my warmest congratulations to the graduating seniors and to those who will be receiving a Town of Highland Scholarship Award and moving on to advanced education. We wish them the best and well.
We're about ready to finalize our BearWise certification.
That's right. We've been having a number of meetings with the Bear Task Force. I anticipate us having that certification within the next several weeks or months.
I had no idea we could track bears on the website.
That is true. We've had this now for several years. If you go to the homepage, you see the leaves of all the different departments. You have mapping and GIS button to hit, and you will see that there is a place where you can actually report bear sightings. It's a part of that mapping, and you can then first of all look and see where the bears have been identified, and we have a list of the information on the side of the sidebar. And then if you see a bear and you want to identify where it was located, you can place it on that map. One of the things with our BearWise initiative, we discourage people from using bird feeders this time of year from April through November because the bears will be attracted. I don't know if you need to identify a self-imposed bear event because you did not take in your bird feeder or you put it out in the daytime, but if you do happen to see a bear in your area, please go ahead and provide that information on this locator and tracking device. It's really helpful for us in that if we see a cluster of sightings in an area, then we can kind of identify that as a potential problem area that we need to investigate.
This past budget workshop, you coupled it with the masks and what we are going to do with it as a town.
Talk with the listeners about the mask issue in the downtown area. The town board had a pretty long, interesting, and intense discussion about how we should proceed with the mask requirement in the commercial areas of the town. I think we've been a leader in encouraging and requiring people to wear masks outdoors in those crowded commercial areas. About a week ago, the governor changed his executive emergency order requiring masks to be worn outside except in very critical, tight, closed spaces. Since that order was removed, we relied on a local emergency proclamation that we have in place it requiring people to wear masks on commercial sidewalks in the town of Highlands. One of the problems that we're experiencing, and our law enforcement people have reported this to us, is that because of the CDC relaxation of mask requirements, because many states now have completely vacated a mask requirement for outdoors, there are a lot of people coming to Highlands and they can't understand or they don't know or they're not willing to accept the idea of having to wear a mask on our streets. We will continue to recommend, encourage, and expect people to wear masks on the commercial sidewalks, especially when there is a congested area. The requirement that the state has for wearing masks inside commercial and public buildings is still in effect, and we will certainly work with our merchants to make sure that's enforced. It's just not realistic at this point in time for us to use the force of the law to absolutely require everyone to wear a mask in the sidewalks in the commercial areas. The board came to the conclusion we want to encourage people to do that. We highly recommend it, and that's about as far as we can go legally. For some of our residents who will say, well, I'm concerned about getting COVID, feel free to continue to wear your mask on the sidewalks. But better yet, if you've gotten the vaccine and you're wearing a mask, I think you're in good shape. And I want to encourage everyone, vaccine is available. Our pharmacies, our health departments are more than happy to set up an appointment and make sure you get that vaccine free of charge. So I think we're really shifting from more of a collective public health initiative, and we now need to expect individuals to take personal responsibility for their own health.
And now to the budget. 3% cost of living increase for our employees, and Blue Cross got the deal.
On Thursday, we had our final budget workshop in the afternoon where our town manager starts presenting all the different aspects of the budget. One of the things that our town manager asked advice on was on the cost of living for our employees, and our board decided unanimously to make that a 3% cost of living. And, you know, I support that. Our employees have been very diligent on the front lines. During the COVID, you know, pandemic, there is a real competition for trained workers right now, and we need to make sure that we take care of our workforce here in Highlands.
Approving the fire department budget, are you telling me that it's the cost of building has increased?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Every year in May, we have to review the budget for our fire department. Chief Gearhart presented proposed budget, which is around $1,147,000 for this year. We have to review it and approve it. And then, because we are in a town-county fire district, that proposed budget goes to the County Board of Commissioners. They will review it and approve it too. So we need to get that into the county folks early in the process so they have a chance to look at it. And yes, we are having some challenges with the construction of the fire department. Our problem, the cost of construction throughout the country for home builders, commercial, everything, it is soaring. It's amazing, the cost of materials. And let me just go over some of the things that our town manager and the fire chief reported about what we're doing to address the increased cost in materials and so forth. We had a contingency fund. That was an important thing to have, especially as you did the site development. And we found some areas where the soil did not compact well, and we had some underground springs and other things. So we've had to spend some money correcting that situation. If you've been going by the site, you've noticed that Bryson and the contractor and everybody's putting in dirt, they're putting in rock, they're putting in geogrid, and we're on top of that now. That's under control. Other thing that we were having a problem with was the cost of steel. That building will be basically a steel building. Those prices have just gone off the charts. DR Rentals, our construction manager company, were saying we've got a problem with about a 30% increase in steel cost. The good news was we were able to lock down a price and a delivery date of September for the steel coming for the building. We've been able to address that cost overrun by saving on other aspects of the project. Our next big challenge is the electrical. Copper has again taken off too, so we'll be looking at ways to save money. As we were talking before we did this taping of the show, you know, I'd read an article this week on the cost of lumber. A normal American home usually had about $10,000 in framing lumber to build the shell of the home. Now that cost this year is up to $34,000. The cost of materials like wood and metal and everything, it's just amazing how it is going up, up, and up.
Talk sales taxes, property tax, and no changes in electric, water, and sewer, you were telling me.
That's the good news. Our utilities are stable. We will have no increases. In electricity, we really haven't raised that rate for a number of years. We've made some adjustments, of course, in the commercial rate with our garbage collection, and our water and sewer has also been increased in the last few years. The property tax collections, we project to collect $2.8 million in property taxes, and that's based on a millage rate of 15.6 per $100 of property evaluations. We haven't raised that millage rate in 7 years. And I will tell you how I know that. I was just elected mayor when we did do a 1.5 increase, and we earmarked that increase at the time for improvements in a recreation department that was a sunset type of tax increase. We met that objective of doing the improvements in the recreation department, and then the board decided, instead of just letting that expire, we redirected those funds toward road paving. So every year now we earmark 1.5 mils for road paving because that's a really important thing to maintain our infrastructure. Our sales tax, we're projecting to be $1.2 million this year, and that goes into the general fund. And all of that comes together to help us meet the capital improvement items, which will be about $3.5 million this year. I was talking about road paving. We'll spend $520,000 this year, $500,000 on road paving. Sidewalks. We need to add a sidewalk out on 64. We did an improvement on the drainage in that area on the curve on 64 coming into town this past year, and now we will finish that with a covering of the drainage ditch there and putting a sidewalk on top of it. And then we're going to do some improvements on the sidewalks in downtown and some of the walls. We'll spend almost $200,000 on that. And then getting back to those water rates and the water plant, we haven't raised the water rates this year, but the continuous maintenance replacement of equipment in our water plant and upgrades, that will cost us this year $885,000. Board and I look at that kind of expenditure and say, you can't put this off. It would be really unwise to say, oh, we'll save money this year and not do these upgrades. That's the way you get water plants and sewer plants in financial trouble, by not facing up to a continuous maintenance and replacement need. With that sometimes comes an increase in the water rates. It's not happening this year. Hopefully it won't happen next year, but we've got some things that we will have to replace in the coming years. For example, we have a water clarifier tank that will cost over $1 million to replace at the water plant. That's going to have to be done very soon in the next year or so. Some people say, well, how long have you had it? The response is since 1965 when we built the water plant, or basically thereabout. And we've done some upgrades to it. We've refurbished it before, but then you get to a point where those kind of solutions are no longer adequate. You just have to replace the system. So we're looking at some big ticket items in the future with our water and sewer department.
We have rebounded from the COVID year of our budget, $1.6 million, and now we're back up to 3.2 you were discussing before we started.
Yeah, from a capital improvement standpoint, like in 2019 and 20, we spent $3,235,000 in capital improvements. In 2020-21, which was the COVID year, that figure dropped down to basically $1.6 million. This year, we are planning on spending $3.5 million in improvements in capital needs. So we're back to a level that was before the COVID pandemic hit us last year.
Hopefully the nation can follow our lead with infrastructure improvements. And speaking of that,
well, let me just say this. We are still meeting with some experts in infrastructure engineering companies that are tracking this whole process of federal infrastructure funding. We talked about that at that budget, and Lamar Nix assured us he's got the construction and engineering documents in process or ready. So if and when those infrastructure dollars come forward, we'll just start submitting them as fast as we can, because it certainly would help us if we could get some money for water line replacements, putting in a new water tank here and there. Pumps, tanks is on the table for us if infrastructure does become a reality.
And we are recording this on a Friday. And tell us what you know about the continuation of the paving. What have they been doing? What are they planning, especially if we have great weather?
The weather is the big factor, Steve. One of the things I noticed toward the end of the week, the state was going back and restriping and defining the handicapped spots on Main Street. That's a very important thing for them to do. They are the people that make the decision on how many and where those handicap parking spaces are based on current ADA standards. They're also going to be striping the walkways downtown with a special type of paint that will hopefully hold up for a long period of time, and doing the permanent striping of the turn lanes and so forth. They were paving, they had milled the week before the Carter Roads, 28 and 64, and this week they were paving. And they had started with NC 28 at Clear Creek, and they're working back toward the town. At the time of this recording, I don't believe they had gotten to that intersection where we had improved the road at Tula and South, but I hope that they'll have that done and restriped very soon. And then I anticipate, if we do have good weather, that they'll start going out 64 with the paving toward Buck Creek. And that would end all of the paving that the DOT has for this cycle in Highlands. And I'm really excited about the prospect of all of this being done, and we open up for the season with Memorial Day, and there'll be no interruption.
People have been commenting on social media how efficient it has been. And one more time, we started off the show congratulating our graduating seniors. And I know you being a former professor, that's near and dear to your heart.
It sure is. I'll tell you what I miss, Steve. And that is the actual graduation ceremony. I still have my robe in my closet. I can't sell it to Fibbers or anything. I want to keep it as kind of as a memory. But yeah, that is a special, special time in the year in the life of our community, and especially with those young people.